141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Motherwell midfielder Elliot Watt is handed a four-match ban for calling the handball penalty given to Celtic the worst decision in VAR history. Rangers close in on midfielder Vanya Dragojevic. Michael Nicholson opens up on Celtic's transfer strategy and Craig Gordon retires from football at the age of 43. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio is Killian Sheridan. And despite the fact that it is in the middle of summer, one of the top stories is some disciplinary action, not the sort of normal time of the season that we're getting a story like that.
Yeah, just when you think, right, new season, new dramas, let's look forward to everything, and we're going back to the controversy from last season. It looks like it's still not going away from that game, and I think possibly what will potentially be bigger news will be when I think Derek McInnes. Going by this ban, I think Derek McInnes is probably in line for something similar after his comments as well. But yeah, Scottish football just dragging up the past.
Yeah, he has his hearing later on this month, Derek McInnes, but Elliot Watt and Motherwell both punished today. There are some more traditional summer stories. Rangers look to be closing in on Partizan Belgrade captain Vanya Dragojevic. There's maybe been less activity when it comes to Celtic, Michael Nicholson. There's been minutes of a meeting that have gone out. It's him talking about their transfer strategy. So Celtic and Rangers fans of every club are sort of keeping their ear on the ground, trying to see what's happening, ins and outs at all the clubs.
Yeah, I think for Celtic, it's probably, fans are probably, at least it's some sort of news on transfers. Maybe it clears up some things, or I don't know if it's taken away any excuses for the lack of activity. But Rangers seem to be getting all their business done early. Probably a little bit similar to last season. They seem to kind of have stuff done, even in January, tended to do it more in a more planned way than Celtic were kind of rushing near the end of the window. And we kind of see it every season now for the last few, where Celtic are just leaving it until the last minute, deadline day, and then have three or four loan signings or something. I'm sure all the Celtic fans are thinking it can't be the same again, but it's at the minute it's kind of veering that way, I'm afraid.
And more big news today. I think people maybe saw it coming at the age of 43, Craig Gordon calling time on his career. What a career he's had that I think has spanned about 24 years, made over 300 appearances at Hearts, made over 200 appearances at Celtic, I think 13 major honours in that time, a lot of personal honours that he's won. That'll be a real proud career for him to look back on.
Yeah, definitely. Great career. He's won titles up here, got his moves down to England. And then probably for Scotland, I would say, was his biggest probably performances. And then to be making a World Cup squad at that age is another thing. And like to go out on that. I know the way Scotland went out, but it's not a bad last action to have.
And probably his proudest achievement is coming up against Killian Sheridan twice and not letting you score. Is that what you'll look back on?
I'm surprised that's not a separate section on his Wikipedia. Kept Killian Sheridan a shutout in two appearances. One and a half. The other one was Breek and I came on as a sub. So
not counting that one as much.
He probably is. He's probably claiming it. But fully deserves all the compliments and everything that he's getting now after such a good career.
01419511025 on the phones. Maybe you're interested in that ban for Elliot Watt, a four-match ban for a social media post of his after that penalty was given to Celtic for handball against Motherwell. He branded it the worst VAR decision in history. So what do you make of that ban? Do you think it's just about right? Do you think it's excessive? You can let us know. 01419511025. Motherwell fans, maybe you just want to talk about the future of Elliot Watt. Is he going to have that four-match ban because he may well be away? There's links with Turkey and some other clubs, so what does the future hold for him? Rangers fans look to be closing in on Vanya Dragojevic. I know there's a lot of talk about Jens Hjertodal as well, another midfielder. So what are you thinking about those prospects? What does it mean for the midfield options? Because it's already quite bloated in there. Who do you want to see come in? Who maybe needs to go out to make way? Celtic fans, we will update you on what Michael Nicholson has been saying about the transfer strategy. strategy, and Martin O'Neill has had his say as well. It's the minutes of a meeting that happened a couple of weeks ago, so we'll let you know and you can tell us what you think of that. And maybe you just want to talk about Craig Gordon and his career. 84 Scotland caps, loads of appearances for Hearts and Celtic, loads of trophies lifted, so maybe you just want to have a chat about him. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We will start with that Elliot Watt story because it's been a long time coming, because the charge came not long after it happened. The social media post where he called it the worst VAR decision in history. It then just takes a while because it comes to the end of the season, then players are away, players are then back. That's why the Dennett McInnes one is even further down the line. I think that's in a couple of weeks' time. What do you make of the ban? First of all, a four-match ban for what he said.
My issue with it always is sometimes it can be worse if the decision has been. See, if you're getting punished for something that clearly was a mistake, then. But I also see it from their side, where if they've set rules in place, they have to kind of follow them and they have to punish people suitably to the rules. I just think it's stupid to go and post stuff after games on your social media platforms. Like, I've always just completely separated, generally never spoke about games after, good or bad, and it's just no need. Like, nothing's going to change. Everyone knows you're going to be upset and annoyed at a decision or a game. You don't need to go and put it on social media and put yourself out there for this now, for a four-game ban.
Well, look at the rule that he breached, which is disciplinary rule 72. It says no recognised football body, club official, team official or other member of team staff, player or other person under the jurisdiction of the Scottish FA shall in an interview, a blog, on the internet, on a social networking or microblogging site or in any other manner or likely lead to publicity, criticise the decisions and or performances of any or all match officials in such a way as to indicate bias or incompetence on the part of such match official, or make remarks about such match officials which impinge on his character. So do you feel it covers one of those? Do you feel it covers both of those, calling it the worst decision in VAR history? Well, is it more to do with the criticism rather than inferring bias?
I think they've said enough things there that one of them has to cover.
There's a lot of words in there. Yeah.
I feel from a bit where he's not like singling out a referee, or if you come in after a game and you say the referee was awful, he's cost us that game, then everyone knows, right, you're talking about that specific person. I kind of feel a bit harsh from where it's the VAR system that he's calling out. Yes, it's controlled by referees in a room.
I suppose it's obvious who he's talking about. If he's saying it's the worst VAR decision in history, is it then obvious he's speaking joint about who the VAR is for that game and who the referee is for that game?
Yeah. But look, as harsh as it is, and it kind of almost like it's, I don't know if it's petty from the SFA, but it's like very touchy. Like how dare you say something bad about us, or how the game was refereed or officiated. But like I say, if their rules are in place for such events like that, then they have to follow it. And then it kind of, if you let one go, then the next one, it's kind of raises stuff where, oh, well, he got away with it, so why isn't he being punished? So I kind of get why they have to do it, but it is harsh.
As you say, the rules are there in place beforehand. The punishments and the length of punishments are there beforehand. Does four games seem like, you know, is that relative to what he said? Does that seem like too much? Would you, if you were a player and you'd tweeted that, would you think that four games was quite harsh? Because quite often you see, you know, it might be a four-game ban, but two of them are suspended. So you serve two of them and then don't serve the other two unless you do something similar, but it's just a straight-up four-game ban.
Yeah, I don't think when he's... I would imagine when he's writing it out and tweeting, putting it out there, he's probably thinking, I don't care. I don't care. Whatever punishment I get, I don't care. But if someone said to him, this will be four games, then you're like, okay, maybe I won't. I don't think probably would have anticipated such a reaction or a punishment from it. But I don't know if from all the aftermath of that, I don't know maybe if the SFA are thinking, right, that can't happen again. We can't have all the comments that were made after that, and then it kind of...
try to set a precedent, really.
Yeah, so I get it from both sides. I can see how he's going to think it's very harsh that, like, it's four games for pointing out something that that's kind of a lot of people will say he was right in. But it's I'm kind of trying not to sit on the fence with it, but the SFA are following their rules.
There was a separate charge for Motherwell. That hearing happened today as well. They were fined £5,000 after being found guilty. It was for a post that they put on social media saying, "As the world of football mocks our game, we simply have to draw a line in the sand and shift focus." And then, as we mentioned earlier on, Derek McInnes will be in the docks on the 22nd of July. He called the decision disgusting in a post-match press conference when he was doing post-match for a different game that he was in charge of that night, but of course had seen the incident. So, yeah, calling it disgusting, do you think he will he be fearing a similar type of ban to Elliot Watt, do you feel?
I think it'll have to be. I think even if, I don't know if it's, if Motherwell maybe will wait to find out what his punishment is going to be before they'll appeal something, or if there's going to be a deadline for it. I just think the whole episode, it was just like one comment after another, and it just all kind of built a snowball effect to where, like, going back talking about it again, but like when the presenters are coming on and everyone's just talking about the referees and the refereeing standards, then it does put everything into a little bit of that disrepute kind of area, which is obviously something they want to just eradicate completely. And I think Elias Watt has been the unlucky one, that he's the, like, he's the one that's been made the kind of the, that's how they're going to make their point of it.
Motherwell have released a statement in the last 20 minutes or so. It doesn't actually relate to Elliot Watt's charge at all. I don't think it's just to their own charge that they received as a club and the punishment. They said the club are extremely disappointed at the outcome of today's hearing in relation to the Scottish FA's notice of complaint received by the club. The notice of complaint related to a social media post and a related video that was published following our last home game of the 2025-26 season. The club have requested the written reasons in relation to the decision and thereafter will liaise with our external solicitors on any next steps. Mm. Let's speak to James, who is a Motherwell fan in Cumbernauld. What are you making of it all, James?
Hi guys, hope you're well. I usually phone up you guys and it's usually to praise my team. Now the season's not even kicked off yet and I'm having to phone Clyde one. I just find the decision to give Elliot Watt a four-match ban and also fine the club for comments made on social media are nothing short of an absolute disgrace, if I'm honest. Now, as a Motherwell fan, I feel from last season, as Jens Bittlasso came in and, you know, his comments and wasn't too happy with the refereeing decision and VAR decisions last season, then Slattery, you know, as well, getting a four-match ban, which was essentially a dive, you know, and the presiding officer getting involved or the compliance officer, whatever it's called, and suspending him for four matches. Two get suspended. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, I feel as if Murrow, as a club, are being essentially a scapegoat, that may be the word to use. I've never known a player to get a four-match ban for a comment he made on social media. Now, he probably won't serve the four-match ban, he's probably leaving the club to go to Turkey, all right? But that's not the point. The point is, Murrow are being pointed out here. And they've been singled out by the SFA. And that's the truth of the matter.
Well, they've not been singled out, have they? Because Derek McInnes has been charged as well.
Well, how many bans has he got? Sorry, well, because that was my next point.
Yeah, his hearing's not until later on this month. So it may be a case that Derek McInnes may not serve the same ban as Elliot Watt. And your point, you know, might have the
smallest ban.
We don't know. It's kind of tough to tell at that point. But I mean, Derek McInnes has been charged as well for his comments of him calling the decision disgusting. So we'll need to kind of wait and see what his punishment is, I suppose, in relation to Elliot Watt.
Ban for his remarks. I think his remarks are worse, but that's here and there. But I just feel the SFA are putting themselves into a corner here. And I don't know if you guys agree. They're setting a precedent and they're going to need to follow this through the rest of the season. It'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. But I just feel, as a Murrow fan, you know, leaving out McInnes and things like that, as a Murrow fan, I feel, you know, moving on from last season with Slattery, etc., you know, we're getting kind of a raw deal.
Yeah, I do remember, I'll put that to Killian, James, because I do remember there were some eyebrows raised, certainly, when the Callum Slattery decision came out. James is unhappy about this Elliot Watt one. I do feel that if you went round fans of most clubs, they tend to remember the ones that they feel go against their own club, and then you kind of leave out the ones that go against other clubs. I think maybe supporters just always naturally feel that their club is the most hard done by out of everyone, just because you tend to maybe feel the injustices a bit harder.
Yeah, it shouldn't be a factor, but I think throughout the season, no matter how harshly treated you might feel, I don't think the manager's comments throughout the season, it was as if he just kept like poking the SFA, like just kind of annoying them with stuff he was saying quite publicly, that it kind of, they were probably just waiting to punish them in some way. Where there's maybe a little bit of kind of like, again, I'm saying it shouldn't be the issue, but there's a little bit of like, just kind of play the game with it. And I just think it's on his behalf, on Elliot Watt's behalf, it's just stupid to come in and tweet something like that out. Every player knows you can't say stuff on social media about referees or officials or anything, that you're going to get punished. So I just think it's on him.
Do you see it from that perspective at all, James? You know, the rules are there. I read out the rules. He said it's the worst VAR decision in history. Can you see why he's been found guilty of breaching those? Or is your issue that, you know, you just want to see the consistency across the board going forward if people are to do similar?
It's obviously comments were posted after an intense match, and maybe looking back, he probably wish he never said it. Heat the moment and things like that, you know, people say stuff, but it needs to be consistency going forward. I feel a four-match ban is very, very harsh, personally. Doesn't matter what club it happened to, I would say the same thing. So there needs to be consistency going forward. And my final point before I let you go, guys, Callum McGregor issue, he said something along the lines of, if that's a red card, then we can pack up football and go home or something like that. So we'll see if he gets reprimanded for that, which I'm sure they won't.
I don't quite remember that. I could be wrong. I can't remember everything that every player has said off the top of my head. I'll have a look at that and see. But would that, if that's what he said, does that hold the same weight?
I just think there's ways of saying stuff, and there's ways of like crafting.
You need to be a bit smarter about it.
And Callum McGregor, obviously, nuanced. I feel, has that, where he's got the experience of, I don't want to say he's got the experience of complaining about officials, but there are ways to do it. I just think coming out and just saying that's the worst VAR decision in history is quite direct. And
I think it's there, actually. It was that Austin Trusty's red card against Hearts? And Callum McGregor said, to send them off for that, we may as well all go up the road and stop playing football if that's going to be a red card every single week. Do you not think that quite packs the same punch?
I think that's more of, I think that's more of like him just giving an opinion on like, yeah, I thought that was a soft red card, thought that was a soft yellow. I don't think it's the same as if he was asked about the red card and he said, yeah, no, that's the worst red card I've ever seen given. It's a bit different. I think he's kind of just crafted it in more of a less aimed and pointed insult at a referee.
Well, thank you to James. Maybe you agree with James, maybe you disagree with James. You can let us know. 0141 951 1025 on the phones. We're going to play this next.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Killian, you have played once during this summer so far, and it was one defeat for you. So you need to get yourself a win on the board before the summer shows end and before the real stuff begins. If you want to take on Killian Sheridan, give us a call now. 0141 951 1025. You could be up next.
Taking your calls on Scottish football. 0141 951 1025. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the second part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Killian Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean. The big story today is that Motherwell midfielder Elliot Watt has been handed a four-match ban for calling the handball penalty that was given to Celtic the worst VAR decision in history. So if you want to weigh into that debate, 0141 951 1025. It's the day Craig Gordon also retired from professional football at the age of 43. So let's get into those after we play this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
And it's going to be Michael in Kinross taking on Kelly and Sheridan. Michael, do you fancy your chances? We got you, Michael.
Hello?
Got you, Michael. There we go. You fancying your chances?
Yeah, I'll give it a go. I played once before, Andrew, and I lost to Jim Duffy, so I'm looking for a wee bit of redemption here.
What was the score?
5-4.
5-4's not a bad effort. Four's a decent enough score.
So, I'd take 4 right now.
Yeah. Well, that's not how it works. I'm not just offering you 4. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put something else in your ear so you cannot hear the questions. And for Michael, it's going to be 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass to help yourself out. Is that all good?
Sounds good, yep.
Let's do it. Name any Argentinian to play for Rangers.
I need you.
Who were the last English clubs Celtic played in Europe?
Aston Villa.
In what decade did Craig Gordon start his career?
2000s.
Rocco McComb, the youngest Premiership player last season, plays for which side?
Dundee.
Which Scottish referee was the fourth official for the 2002 World Cup final?
Hugh Dallas.
Hibs' Martin Boyle has played in Scotland and which other country?
Australia.
Okay, we will bring Killian back in. Can you hear me, Killian?
Yep.
30 seconds on the clock for you. Let's go. Name any Argentinian to have played for Rangers.
Pass.
Who were the last English clubs Celtic played in Europe?
Aston Villa.
In what decade did Craig Gordon start his career?
2000s.
Rocco McComb, the youngest Premiership player last season, plays for which side?
St Mirren.
Which Scottish referee was the fourth official for the 2002 World Cup final?
Pass.
Hibs' Martin Boyle has played in Scotland and which other country?
Saudi Arabia.
Which current Rangers player has 45 caps for Albania?
Bayrami.
Okay, how do you think it went, Michael?
I think he might have just put me on that last question, maybe.
We'll see. We'll go through them. It was certainly tight, and I think it was maybe high scoring. We'll go through. Name any Argentinian to have played for Rangers. You just didn't have that in your locker, did you?
I blanked.
Michael did have it in his locker. He went for Claudio Caniggia. He could have gone for Gabriel Amato or Federico Nieto, but he's gone for Claudio Caniggia, who I think is the most obvious choice of the three, surely. Who were the last English club to have played Celtic in Europe? You both got it right. You both said Aston Villa. In the Champions League in 2025. So 2-1 to Michael. In what decade did Craig Gordon start his career? You both said the 2000s. You both got it correct. Rocco McComb, the youngest Premiership player last season, plays for which side? You both took a stab at it. One of you went Dundee, one of you went St Mirren, but it's Motherwell is the correct answer. So remains 3-2. Which Scottish referee was the fourth official for the 2002 World Cup final? It's a good bit of niche knowledge if you know it. And Michael did know it. It's Hugh Dallas. So it goes 4-2 to Michael. Hibs' Martin Boyle played in Scotland and which other country? I could see Michael's logic. He said Australia. Of course, he's an Australian international, but it is Saudi Arabia. And Killian Sheridan pulls one back. You got one question in. And honestly, I must have started saying the question with half a second to go. Which current Rangers player has 45 caps for Albania? You took your time, but you said Nedim Bayrami, which is correct. A very, very late equaliser, which means it goes to a tie break. Okay, what I'm going to do, Michael, is I'm going to read out the question. I'm going to get Killian to write down his answer. Once he's written down his answer, I'll tell you, and then you can say yours out loud. How does that sound?
Yeah, okay.
Right. Excluding qualifiers, so just the tournament proper, how many games will be played in total at the end of this year's World Cup? So essentially,
how many games are there in the World Cup?
Yeah. So I'll get Killian to write his answer down, Michael, and then I'll get you to say yours out loud in a second. Killian's still thinking. He has written his answer. Michael, what are you going for?
65.
So Killian has gone for 60.
I was about to put down 65 as well.
Michael has gone for 65. Believe it or not, The answer is 104.
What?
So Michael wins.
Well done, Michael.
Well done, Michael.
Good game. That was a good game.
Cheers, Killian. Cheers.
What a win. What a win for Mike. 104 games in the World Cup this year. That's incredible. Eight were there? Is that right? Anyway, 104 games at this year's World Cup. How many do you think you've watched out of the 104?
Half of them.
Yeah.
Less than half, actually. That's what I was saying.
That's quite
to
a
someone,
shift, isn't it?
Hasn't been, that's what's been an annoying World Cup. I haven't seen half of it.
Yeah, I know. Just it being in the middle of the night isn't great. But yeah, 104 matches across the 48 teams in 16 cities. There you go. And, so well done to Michael.
And your man wants more at the next one.
Yeah, that's going to be quite a... Where are they going to host them all? Who knows? Right, anyway, let's get back into Scottish football, shall we? 0141 951 1025 on the phones. Let's speak to who's been holding on the line the longest. I think it's Charlie, who's a Celtic fan in Cadder. Charlie, how's it going?
Hi, how you doing? Hi, Elliot, how are you, mate?
Hi, Charlie, very good, thank you.
This Derek McInnes stuff and the boy from Motherwell that's getting suspended, I think the 4-game ban, too much. Two, yes. He shouldn't even have two suspended. But Derek McInnes should get the boot through him. Because the way he came out and spoke that night, that was disgusting. He just couldn't take it that the decisions have gone against him and his team to win the league.
What's the difference between the two comments then, Charlie? Because I find this is like such a difficult discussion to have, because it just comes down to opinion. Whether you think a player saying that it's the worst VAR decision in history, is that better or worse than someone calling a decision disgusting? It's quite a hard thing to quantify, isn't it?
It's not just that he called it disgusting. It's the way he said it. There was hatred in his voice that night.
I mean, was it not just emotion, really? Because he felt like the decision...
emotion. But if you've watched the videos and things and that, it's been on YouTube, then you will know it's hatred.
I mean, he was chasing down a league title. I think he obviously felt that the decision was, as he said, was disgusting. I don't know whether the way that someone says it is taken into account, because you can't take the way that...
Once
you know,
that's transcribed
did Elliot Watt
read back,
type
yeah.
his really yeah. angrily? How hard was he pressing the keys on his keyboard?
It wasn't cap locks.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't know whether that comes into it or not. I think it's more just the actual substance of what you say rather than how you say it.
I think it goes back to the... Well, one of the 10 or 15 words they used to describe it, like bringing it into disrepute.
Yeah.
One of those where I think if it qualifies as something there, then that's probably where they're gauging it. I don't think you can take into how someone says it. But again, it's emotion. It's in the heat of something happening. Like I said, like you've just said there, he was chasing down a league. Of course you're going to be angry if something goes against you that, albeit, is out of your control as well. But again, he'll know that you can't say stuff like that. It's the same as Elliot Watt. You know, as a player, you can't come out and say things like that about referees. And now that I've got my head around it, the 4-game ban is wildly harsh.
That seems excessive to you?
Yeah. Like when you think about it, like, he's not able to play 4 games because of something he said online.
Because then you're comparing apples and oranges, but I suppose you maybe look at tackles or things that people have done on the pitch that they've maybe not had 4-game bans for, and are they worse than someone, you know, putting something on Instagram?
Exactly. I'm sure they already knew that they're going to be under the microscope for how they now deal with everything going forward. But you would also think, surely if people are watching it or seeing this happen, players are going to be like, right, well, I'm not going to say anything about games after or about officials or referees. So if that's what they're trying to do, you would have to think that that's going to work. That's going to be a deterrent for any players. But then you want people to be honest after a game. You want managers to come out and, like, the media will want that, but clearly the SFA don't. So I just think it sets, I think, a standard of just you can't be critical at all. Of the referees. And I can't say, it's going to be hard because the standard hasn't been great.
So Charlie, you think that it's too harsh for Elliot Watt, the 4-game punishment? What do you think Derek McInnes should be serving then?
Well, I think he should get 46 games. Seriously, I do.
Sorry, did you say 426 or 46?
4-2.
I genuinely thought for a second he said 46 games. Would you imagine that it would be in a similar range to what Elliot Watt got then? Do you think Derek McInnes is potentially facing? I mean, once again, you're comparing different things. It's so hard to compare. I think, you know, reading the SFA's disciplinary website earlier on, it was saying that the charge was admitted by Elliot Watt, which means that essentially you're just automatically getting the ban. Maybe it depends whether Rangers go in and they, you know, plead a case and say, you know, X, Y, Z, compare it to other things, and that can maybe make a difference sometimes, I suppose.
Well, I would imagine Rangers will go in probably with more resources to them. I'm not saying Motherwell haven't or aren't going to give Elliot Watt the best defence that they can, but I think Rangers will have deeper pockets, probably have more lawyers there that I would imagine would be quite intimidating for the SFA to face. And again, it could go back to clubs kind of knowing how to deal with circumstances like this or situations where Motherwell probably hasn't happened a lot. Rangers will be used to it. Celtic will have had it as well. Like, it kind of goes back to that bit of like kind of playing the game with it a little bit. But I think there will be a lot of pressure and a lot of eyes on the ban that gets this dished out to Derek McInnes, which I imagine if they've charged them, they kind of have to give a ban given what they've given to Elliot Watt.
Thank you to Charlie. William is a Rangers fan. Stevenson, what are you making of it, William?
Hello, Andrew and Killian. Here's my take on it, right? Why, see, the Motherwell guy and Derek McInnes, why are they getting banned for telling the truth? I mean, I've got a better word for that decision. Shambolic decision.
Is the problem, William, there that the SFA have come out, Willie Collum has come out and backed that decision and said that there was clear evidence, according to them, that it was a handball. So the SFA are having to judge it by what they feel is the right decision. So you may feel it wasn't the right decision. The SFA feel the opposite of that. So they're having to judge what's been said by Elliot Watt and by Derek McInnes based off of the fact that they feel the decision was the correct decision.
So they're giving a decision for a guy heeding the ball out to Rose Ed. Well, that's fair enough, right? But my point is, Derek McInnes is getting that ban while he was Hearts manager, so the Rangers are going to suffer. Right, here's my point, right? How did they know fast-track that decision the way they did with players when they get sent off for red cards? They were never going to ban Derek McInnes for that Park Quay match. It would cause the biggest stink in history. It was already a biggest stink with that decision.
Well, I mean, Elliot Watt wasn't banned straight after it either, William. So it's not as if it's just Derek McInnes and that's not why he was banned for the game. These things don't tend to get fast-tracked. It's a different system. So when it comes to, you know, a challenge on the pitch or something like that, those then, you know, take place and they're fast tracked, so it's ready for the next game. But these ones that are social media, when it comes to comments, these ones aren't normally fast tracked, so they then, you know, take a bit longer for that period.
So basically what you're saying is Rangers are getting punished. It was a shambolic decision. It wasn't a penalty, and that's it. So Rangers are just going to take it while Derek McInnes is manager. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, Rangers don't need to take it. They can go in and they can protest it and they can make their case. But, you know, I see what William's saying, that it's something that Derek McInnes has done while he's Hearts manager. And if he gets a ban, he has to serve it while he's Rangers manager. But it's not going to be the first time that something like that has happened. We've seen it in the past that a player's got a red card or got a ban and then he's transferred to a different club and he then has to serve that ban for a different club. So it's just kind of one of the hazards of football, isn't it? That if you get a suspension, sometimes those suspensions are just carried over into a new club.
I think I'm going back to it again. I think the SFA they've set their rules. They need to punish people per their rules. Even if the decision, if it's a different decision, and I don't know if Willie Collum comes out and then says, yeah, it was the incorrect decision. If a manager comes out or a player after that game and says the same things, even though everyone has acknowledged, actually, yeah, they're right that the decision was wrong, they're still going to get punished because they're still breaking the rules that the SFA have set. So I don't think it really matters on if the decision was right or wrong. It's the fact they've come out and said it afterwards.
Well, thank you to William, 0141 951 1025. Maybe you've got something to add to that. Maybe you want to talk transfers. Maybe you want to talk Craig Gordon, who's retired today at the age of 43. You can get your calls in while I tell you this.
Clyde One.
We are a day closer to your bank balance potentially showing £777,000. Last week's winner was Pat. She was overcome with her huge cash win, and you could be next, but time is running out. Enter Make Me a Winner right now, and your phone could be ringing tomorrow. To enter, text YES to 61025, text for 250, plus your standard network rate. You can also enter at makemeawinner.co.uk. You'll find the rules for this network competition there. You can call 03434 269 340. All calls are charged at the standard rate. It's over 18s only, and don't hang about because lines close at 5 o'clock tomorrow and someone will win the lot. Just answer your phone and £777,000 is yours, paid straight into your bank account in time for the weekend. So for your chance to win tomorrow, text YES to 61025 now.
Tackle the headlines. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Busy night on the phones on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Kelly and Sheridan here with me, Andrew McLean. We've been looking at that four-match ban for Elliot Watt after posting on social media at the end of last season that the handball penalty given to Celtic against Motherwell was the worst VAR decision in history. There's some debate about that. The fact that Derek McInnes has also been charged for comments he made. That hearing will be later on this month. So let's go back to the phones and get some more opinions. Let's speak to George, who's a Rangers fan in Edinburgh. What are you thinking, George?
Hi, I'm baffled by this. Hello, Andrew and Killiam.
Hello.
Hi, George.
I'm absolutely baffled by this because I know Willie Collum backed the decision, but the key match incident panel of the SFA said the penalty shouldn't have been awarded.
Yeah, so the KMI panel, I think it was 2-1, said that the penalty shouldn't have been given. The KMI panel were essentially installed so that there was a sort of independent body that were looking at the Scottish FA's work and their decisions so that the SFA weren't marking their own homework. But one thing, if you listen to Willie Collum, is he'll say that they don't always agree with the KMI panel. You know, sometimes they feel strongly about something that the KMI panel go against. So he's come out and said that they feel that there was clear evidence that it was a penalty. So despite the fact that the KMI panel have said so, the SFA need to really judge these bans and these hearings based off of what they've said rather than what the KMI panel have said, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think, if like bringing that up, I don't think that makes a difference to what Derek McInnes and Elliot Watt have done. If the SFA come out, the only alternative would be SFA come out and say, actually, they were both right. Derek McInnes, yeah, he was right. It was disgusting. Elliot Watt, you're right. It was the worst decision. No one gets any punishment. No one gets any bans. They can't do it. If the decision is right or wrong, the player and manager know that they can't come out and say things like that anyway. Even if it's clear as day the wrong decision, you know yourself that you can't come out and do it. You're breaking the laws and rules that the SFA have set there.
Do you see that, George, that if the SFA, you know, despite the fact that the KMI panel have said that they didn't feel or they felt it was the wrong decision, if the SFA feel it's the right decision, they then need to kind of act based on that being their truth rather than anything else?
Well, no, really, because it's the SFA that set up this KMI panel. I mean, what's the point of it?
I mean, as I said, it's kind of there just so that they're not marking their own homework and there's, you know, other, you know, another perspective, but
they've been marked because the KMI panel have actually said it shouldn't have been awarded. Now, okay, put that to one side. To give a, with that doubt in it, when there's two different versions coming for the same organisation.
Well, the KMI panel are a separate organisation. They're not part of the SFA. They're an independent panel that are aside from the SFA.
I think you have to separate the incidents with what the Derek McInnes and Elliot Watt have done. They're not. It doesn't matter. Like if what they're arguing,
are they still breaching the rules? Essentially,
that's what. Yeah. They're breaching the rules that are set there by the SFA. So it doesn't matter if the decision is right or wrong. They can't make comments like that.
Because if they're still coming out and criticising and go against that disciplinary rule 72, George, that, you know, the rules are stated, does it then really matter what the KMI panel or the SFA say if they're breaching rules that are already set out there that players and managers and club officials can't criticise in a certain way?
Well, it must mitigate it to some extent. I think 4-match ban is just ludicrous when you've got referees or ex-referees basically saying that the guy was probably entitled to criticise it.
Yeah, I mean, that's a different point, I suppose, the 4-match ban, which you've said you feel is quite harsh, Killian.
Extremely harsh, to miss 4 games due to something you've said online. But it's set a very strict precedent now, I think, for anything going forward this season. If players come out and, I'll say it again, if players come out and are stupid enough to make comments like that publicly under accounts, then a 4-match ban, no, you don't deserve that, but you know you're going to get punished in some way. And I think this is probably the SFA's way of saying, right, we're no more of that.
Well, thank you to George. Let's squeeze one more caller in. Brian's a Celtic fan in Stirling. What are you thinking, Brian?
Well, I think common sense has got to be prevailed here. The incidents were a flagrant and inflammatory statements made in the public. The responsibility of the players is not just to play, it's to represent the football club. The rules are set in stone every year. You cannot go on and destroy a whole fraternity of referees and VAR and all that and think that there's nothing going to happen. I mean, for Derek McInnes to turn around and say it was disgusting, and what I think is punishment, you know, if it's a 4-match ban for him, you know, it's much the same as the boy that admitted it. Derek McInnes won't admit to being in the wrong, though, because he believes it was a disgusting thing, as Rangers fans do, as Hearts fans do. But that's an opinion. An opinion can't be fact. The fact is that he broke the rules, which is an inflammatory statement to the public, where he has got a responsibility to not do that. You're told, you know, I mean, I don't know the rule, but within the rules of the SFA concerning players and their media, you know, their social media, we've had incidents like this before. It's just because now that Derek McInnes is the Rangers manager, and Rangers will get the punishment, because they hired them, you know? It's because it's incidental that he was the manager of the Hearts when it happened, the manager of the Rangers when he takes his punishment. But he should get punished. And as the young player who foolishly went on to social media. So if these people who didn't believe their eyes, didn't think it was a penalty, it does not matter, because they're...
Oh, I think Brian's disappeared there, but we're going to have to leave it there anyway, because we are running very short on time. It's been a very quick show. A lot of debate about Elliot Watt and Dennett McInnes. Maybe you want to continue that tomorrow at 6 o'clock. I'll be back here with Hugh Keevans alongside me. But thank you to Kelly and Sheridan. But most importantly, thank you to you at home for getting involved on the phones, getting involved on the live stream as well. We always appreciate it. And it's going to be Gavin Pearson up next for you.